You're listening to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. My name is Stephanie, and I am a wife, a mother of four, and the creator of the blog Winging It on the Homestead, where I help modern mothers incorporate simple living and self-sufficiency skills and knowledge into their busy lives. My goal is to help you refocus your life towards what really matters, your family, as well as boost your confidence so you can start being more self-reliant and decrease your dependence on stores and commercial products. Join me as I share with you my appreciation for creating a homemade and homegrown life through cooking, food preservation, cooking from scratch, and making your own products, all while keeping it practical, intentional, and realistic. Hey, welcome back to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. In this episode, I'm going to talk about something that's probably not on your mind at the moment, especially if you listen to this when this episode airs. Right now, we are in the beginning of August, and today's episode is going to be all about Christmas presents. I like to give a couple months in advance talk about this because it's something that, you know, I like to try, emphasis on try, to be ahead of the game when it comes to Christmas, and especially if you're doing homemade gifts for those that you are giving gifts to. So I have a couple of homemade ideas that I'm going to try this year and a couple things I've done in the past as well. So that is the topic of today's episode. All right. So right now in August, one of the reasons too that I like to talk about it now is because there are lots of things you can do, especially if you have a garden right now with your harvests that you can use and prepare in certain ways so that you can give them as really nice gifts later in the year. So let's see, a couple of those are gifts to do with herbs. So in the past, not so much this year, but in the past, I like to heavily grow herbs. Some years are more successful than others, but there's so much you can do with herbs beyond just growing them and drying them and having them as a stock for herbs for the year, which is, I love to do that. You save so much money when you grow your own herbs. And I've really been able to do a dent of that with like thyme and sage parsley and really build up those. I would love to do some other ones. Dill, I tend to use so much fresh that I never have enough to really dry. So I always think that I grow enough dill and then I never do, especially if you're canning and pickling and doing all that stuff. So I really need to really up my game on dill. What are some other ones? Rosemary is a really good one that I tried to dry as well. And there's another one that I was thinking about. It'll probably come to me. But those are some of the ones that I really... Oh, mint. You can't kill mint. So everyone should be growing some mint. And mint does it really nicely for herbs. So a couple of things you can do if you have a really substantial herb garden, or even if it's just like one specific herb that you've really grown, and you can do what's like herb salts. I don't have any recipe. Maybe I'll link a couple in the show notes that I really like, but this episode's kind of just on the fly. But as far as herb salts go, it's where you dry herbs and you mix them with salts and like a coarse salt. And the idea is that, you know, you can do, and you can even do this with dry herbs or spices that you have in your pantry, or you can get some specifically for this, put it in a nice jar, and it is a really nice present. And it's used for rubs. So of course there's different types of meat that you can have complementary spice rubs that go with. And it's also a great way to preserve the herbs. That's kind of a little bit more exciting. That's just dried herbs. So if you're heavy on the herbs in your garden this year, that's a really great option to give for people for gifts. It's really easy, inexpensive, and it could make a really nice present and thoughtful gift for someone. Also, extracts. So extracts is something that takes a couple months to really set. So if you're going to be doing extracts, you can do them, probably start them now, if not yesterday, but starting them now would probably at least give you a good extract formula. But that's where you seep either vanilla. You can get vanilla beans if you're not growing them, which I don't. I'm not sure I have the climate for them, but maybe I'll look into that. But if you grow vanilla beans and then you soak them in alcohol for many months or weeks, then you will have, you know, an, vanilla extract, and that can take the place of what you use in your cooking and be good quality. Something that's a lot less expensive than, you know, what you buy at the stores, because buying extract is very expensive. I also like to do it with mint, because mint in our at our house is pretty abundant. So I'm always looking for ways to do mint, whether it's trying to dry it for teas or just having drying it like I would any other herb. And then, yeah, using it in teas or maybe in a rub or something like that. But you can also use it as an extract, and that's steeping mint in an alcohol. And then you get a mint extract, which is really nice for baking in the holidays when you're trying to do mint flavored things. So that's an option as well. I love to do that. Add the mint extract to like chocolate and stuff like that. That is definitely screams holiday season for me. Those are more of like the herb gifts that are really nice to make different sets and stuff for different people, and just some ideas with that. And another thing that I found, I saw that was really cool, was from Brandy over at the Motherhead Homestead. And this is what she called like long-term flower bouquets. They were flower arrangements, and they are so gorgeous. And especially, it's perfect for right now if you are having if you do have flowers in your garden. And basically what she's doing, I'll link her Instagram account here in the show notes so you can see. She kind of has it on one of those bubbles, you know, those category bubbles. So it's for flowers. But it's bottles with flowers, and you put the flowers into the bottle. So you get a nice glass bottle. A lot of these look like liquor bottles, kind of like liquor bottles, but nice fancy bottles. And you put flowers in them, all different color blooms and leaves, and you put them in there, and then you fill it with baby oil. And it is so pretty, and it lasts, according to what she says, for up to a year. So if you harvest some of your flowers, especially like right before they go out of season, if they're still in good, you know, still good quality flowers, and you do this, and then you give them to people throughout the year, oh, that's so pretty, so nice, and much better than just letting flowers die. I don't know. I really like that idea. So I'm going to link that for you. That's a really great one also. Of course, there's the other options of canning goods and giving those things to people. You know, people really like homemade stuff if you can make it pretty and nice, and it's a nice thoughtful gift. So of course, canning, fermenting, anything like that, especially if it's your own harvest, makes it even more special. Those are some really great options for some gifts. And that kind of comes right out of your garden. It's cost effective for you, and it's thoughtful for someone else. All right, so switching gears over to like handcrafted stuff. I don't do a ton of sewing by any means, but I have been for years sewing these Busilla, I think that's how you say it, Busilla stockings. And I'll link that company as well. I love these stockings. They are so adorable. They're basically a stocking kit, and you get all of the felt pieces, all of the embroidery threads, and all of the sequins and the beads and everything you need to make like really nice, high quality stockings. My mom made each of us, me and my brother and sister, these stockings growing up. And then I had an extra one laying around. And when my husband and I were dating, I made that for him. And that's what he uses. And I still have mine. And then the kids, I've made one for each one. Except I'm like two behind. So I need to get my button gear and start sewing them. So every kid has one this year. And I'm determined to do it. So I've been diving back into that. And basically, I mean, I suppose there's some areas in it that you can use a sewing machine, but I hand stitch everything, and it's super easy. It comes with really, really great instructions. Everything is printed. You can cut it out yourself, but everything is really well organized, so they're not hard. And what I like about it is it's great practice for hand stitching techniques and stuff. So I really practice my stitching so that then when I have to mend things, the kids' clothes and all that kind of stuff, I really have developed more of that skill. So I'm working on one, and then I still have another one I have to do, and I have to actually still order that. I don't have that one yet, but I love doing them. They look so nice when they're all hung up, and they're all handcrafted by you. So the website that I order them from is called Mary Stockings, and these are the Bucilla Felt Stocking Kits, and they actually have felt kits. Like, they're kind of addicting, honestly. So once you're done with those, they have table runners that you could make. They have tree skirts. They have ornament sets. They also have things for other holidays. So if you're kind of just wanted to get started sewing, I highly recommended one of these, like starting with one of these kits. So that's what we're doing now. Also, another sewing project that you could take on that would be really easy and really nice, especially if you're not a great sewer. I'm actually doing this because I have a ton of rice left over from brands that I don't like. I'm really picky about the rice we eat because I hate mushy, soggy rice. And maybe it's the way I'm cooking it, but I really just like Uncle Ben's rice. That's the best I've found. But I have these other bags of like cheaper rice that I don't like. So I'm going to be making hot packs with that where you fill like a cotton or fabric sack or whatever it is, like maybe a neck roll to put around their neck, and you fill it with rice. And they're really great for, you heat them up in the microwave, and then they're great for using as a hot pack. They really hold the heat. And that's a nice little handmade gift because you're just sewing the cloth fabric around it and then filling it with rice. And that's kind of my plan to do and use up all of this rice. So that's an option as well. So I just kind of wanted to, it's kind of a short and sweet episode here, but this is kind of where my mind's at this very moment, is looking forward and what I can do with some of the harvest while I still have it in the ground and it's still producing, and what I can do to help myself out later in the year. So I hope that was helpful as you look forward to your holiday season and plan on gifts for your loved ones. And I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. I have a brand new guide out that is just perfect for this time of year. The Ultimate Fruit and Vegetable Seasonal Guide is now available, and you can grab it for free at www.savemyveggies.com. If you are like me, you have thrown away produce that you just never got a chance to use. I used to do this all the time. Especially this time of year, as my harvest starts coming in, it can be difficult to properly store everything and make sure I either preserve it in time or use it up. That's why I created this guide. This guide has everything you need to stop wasting fruits and vegetables that you either grow yourself or purchase at the store. Learn how to properly store 25 plus fruits and vegetables to help them stay fresher longer. This guide also includes a month-by-month seasonal timeline so you know when to stock up on inexpensive and high-quality fruits and vegetables to save you time and money. Again, you can grab that free guide at www.savemyveggies.com. As always, if you have any questions, want gardening advice, or have a topic suggestion for the podcast, please email me at info@wingitonthehomestead.com.